Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as we are live in Surprise, Arizona. Royals spring training as the Royals get ready for the 2019 season. And a familiar face, Ian Kennedy, joins us here in the program. Ian, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Different expectations for this team than last year. Last year was, I think when you're in the middle of it, you don't maybe want to acknowledge it. Right, but was kind of the bottoming out before taking off. There's a real feeling that the club is now ready to take some strides. I mentioned this to a couple of guys. Buster Olney says, he's bullish on the Royals, and Vegas saying 69.5. Take the over. They're going to be better than that. What's the feeling in the clubhouse like?
Like you said, last year we had, not really, kind of unsure. Because
right.
we had a new, for me, we had a new coaching staff. You had a Vance as our bullpen coach, you had Cal being added, and some personnel changes and a lot of player changes, and you're like, you don't know what the young guys look like, and you hear about them, you read about them.
Right.
And then we sign Moose, so we sign John Jay, Duda, and then, a couple other guys, and it kind of evolves throughout the year, and like you said, you kind of bottom them out. I mean, we lost a lot of games, 100-plus games.
Yeah.
Have
you ever lost 100 in your career?
I was trying to think. In Arizona, we lost pretty close to that my first year there.
Okay.
But then we went to the playoffs. The next year, we won the West.
Yeah.
So very weird how that – hopefully this is going to turn out.
Yeah.
That team was the same way where we had a lot of younger, older guys, and we had a regime change, GM change, manager change in the middle of the year. And we had a lot of guys get traded, and we had a whole new team after the All-Star. I mean, probably like July trade deadline time. And then we did great about mid-August all the way through September. And I was like, man, this team's going to look pretty good. We had a lot of young guys.
Right.
And then Kevin Towers did a pretty good job at that time, adding a piece here in the bullpen, made our bullpen better. J.J. Putz is our closer. And then guys like Willie Bloomquist, like a veteran presence, mm-hmm. and we win and we do great, and it was a lot of fun. That was like one of the closest teams I ever played on, like friendships and all that stuff.
Right.
But and then if I relate it to this team, we had the same type of thing, but it just happened early in the offseason. A lot of guys were leaving, not really knowing where you're going to get. A lot of changes throughout the July and June and August even.
Yep.
A lot of trades and pickups and all this stuff. A lot got young guys. It was totally different pitching staff than the beginning of the year when I was hurt in July and August. When I came back, it was fun because I was watching the games.
Yeah.
It's like, man, these guys, it's going to be a lot of fun the next couple. I like how the energy that we brought to every game. We pushed all the way to the very end of the games. We made it interesting. I always thought, like Bud Black always says, like if we could bring the closer in at the end of the game, make it close, by the end of the series, that guy's pitched hopefully at least twice, or we're winning for other games.
Yes, exactly.
And, maybe we'll get to him when the games really count, because he's tired. So it's like stuff like that, like making the games close, interesting. Maybe we can win them. We won some late games. It was a lot of fun.
Well, it's interesting to hear you talk about how the Diamondback season went before they won it, because that is exactly what the wins and losses, the way the season went.
You know,
it was a very good August and September, last 40, 45, 50 games. I can't remember the number. There's a number everybody keeps quoting.
Mm-hmm.
That was really good for the team coming down the stretch. There's also the cautionary tale of, well, don't read too much into September, right? That's what I was brought up with was, you got, hurt guys stay hurt. They don't fight their way back if their team's not in it. So you're not getting maybe a frontline guy.
Mm-hmm.
Call-ups come up. But it's great to hear the story of the Diamondbacks, I think, for Royals fans. And for me to hear it, because I'm like, I want to buy into what you guys did coming down the stretch. But I've seen too many times where it's like, that's kind of fool's gold. But I am willing to buy in from the stamp of one, you saying that, given a great example of where it has worked, but also it is youth that was getting it done right away. You got good pieces, good young pieces that are coming in and producing. And I like what you said about the energy. I mean, as you look back on it, nothing against all the guys that you talk about were brought in, but, you know, it was kind of hired guns. Right? These young guys, this is their organization. They don't even have an opportunity to go anywhere else unless the team trades them. So they're all in on this team. Is that kind of the element as you look back
on
it?
That's a good point. Like you said, like a lot of guys were like Brett Phillips, Jose Lopez the other day. I'm so stuck. George, Jorge, like guys like those guys, for example, they have a new life in another organization. They feel like they could be given another chance.
Right.
Whereas in, you know, maybe the other organization, they were kind of pushed down. And I mean, no offense, I mean, the Brewers were great. Obviously they went to, they did what they did last year. But like guys like that came in, brought us some new life. I mean, Phil Meyer, I'm just thinking about pitchers, but a lot of guys who got the opportunity that they weren't getting and they were taking it and run with it, which I like to see because I like to see them succeed,
right?
Because ultimately, they succeed. We all succeed as a team, and it's a lot more fun.
What do you do as a veteran with Jacob Junis has now been around for a couple of years, but like Brad Keller, a first year guy, do you go over and say, hey, here are a couple of things? Do you wait for him to come to you when you and Danny Duffy, and certainly Salvi, you know, catching him is always going to be talking to him. But do you veteran guys just kind of wait for them to come over, or are you over there whispering the great logics of Major League Baseball in their ear?
Well, I mean, we have a lot of downtime between and starts, you know. And Brad is always willing to listen, willing to. He doesn't talk a whole lot, but when he's around, he does. But it's just more of he was just kind of taking that first little bit in, and a lot of the information that I like it when someone would just offer information to me. So that's how I took it with Brad. Like I went up to him and started talking to him throughout this season, different times, and especially when, like I said, especially when you're hurt and you have, I mean, your only purpose is to either offer advice or help in any other way. Like you can't do anything on the field anymore,
right?
And just get better,
yeah.
And then, okay, well, now I got the game. Now let's talk. We're going to talk to Brad or Heath. All those guys. They're all learning on the fly. And it's hard at the big league level, and I know that, so I'm going to take it and kind of just offer it up. There's some, there aren't too many young guys who are going to just seek it out.
Right.
They're going to, unless Heath every once in a while will ask some questions, but for the most part, they're just there observing, and anything we can offer, I can offer advice on and what I learned throughout my career, especially being young. That's what I try to do.
Do you? But that's kind of the baseball culture too, though. When you're the young guy, you're supposed to kind of know your place and at least for a year, be seen, not heard, right? Mm-hmm. So, is it still that way?
Yeah, I think it should be. I think it should be. I think it's, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, the military is that way.
Yeah.
Senior. I mean, it has its purpose, and it's not. It's not like you, like football is the same way. It's not like you give, like you have. I don't see Raz, or you just give the young guys a hard time.
Right.
You just, like you said, be seen, not heard. You just take it in. Like, there's a lot of things you're trying to take in your first big league season, especially like Brad being a Rule 5, taking, like, new organization. Like, he's just trying to make the team, and then he goes to the bullpen. He's just, everything's all good. Like, I'm in the big leagues. And then he's probably thinking, I need to stay here.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he goes to the rotation. He's pitching well. It's feeling good, but like he's so humble. Like you couldn't tell if he had a 10 ERA or a 3 like he had, or 2, whatever he had. And that's why I love Brad. Like I like guys like that who are humble, quiet, and just willing to take all that advice they can. And I think that goes to Dayton and the whole staff trying to find guys who are like good character guys.
So do you? I was once told by management types in the game, player wants to get to, there are 4 stages to a player's career. He wants to get to the big leagues. He wants to stay in the big leagues. He wants to get paid in the big leagues, and then he wants to win in the big leagues. Is that fair? Is that a fair assessment?
In that order?
Yes, that those are the stages. That was a management view. What's the player view?
Well, if they do a good job, I mean, yeah, like obviously like make it to the big leagues. Yeah. Getting paid part, like I feel like that's last.
Really?
Because, I think a lot of guys will buy into the fact that, like, if you win, if your goal is to win and it's for the team, you're eventually going to get that last goal.
Right.
Minimum's getting paid, but, like, you know, securing your family for in the future.
Yeah.
Winning makes playing way more fun. We were just talking about this, how when you're playing a team that wins and has a good culture, you play guys who have, I did it. Guys, like in 2011, I had a career year. Whether you want to say you overachieve or you play to your potential.
Right.
And it's just because you have that good culture and everybody starts playing better because we have one goal, is to win. And if your goal is to, I'm going to try to drive in all these RBIs and you're not worried about us winning, especially as a hitter, like, I think then selfishly, then we're not going to win because you aren't trying to get the guy over. You aren't letting the other guy get the RBI. You're trying to drive him in and potentially getting a pop-up or striking out in a crucial situation, the guy at third. As a starting pitcher, if you're worried about yourself, then you're mad that you got a no decision, but the team wins.
Yeah.
You pitch well, and the team loses, and you're like, yeah, whatever, I don't care. But if we're winning, everybody starts playing a little bit better.
Right.
Everybody's a little happier when they go to the ballpark, when they leave the ballpark. I feel like it. Yeah, like your goal, like personal goal, yeah, make it to the big leagues. Stick in the big leagues. What do I need to do? Because that's where the adjustment part has to happen.
Right.
And some guys can't make that adjustment. But get to the big leagues, stick to the big leagues. But if your whole goal is to, I think the ultimate thing is like if you do everything you can to win.
So you would take winning out of it. You'd say those three are there, but winning for anyone who's a worthwhile player, the winning exists immediately.
Yeah, I think so.
So that it's really three stages in your mind, and the winning is at least in your head, and I assume the players that you'd like to think are in this clubhouse, the winning is there. You're born with that.
Yeah.
You're either a winner or you're not. It's not something that comes around after.
Because if you're selfish, you're not thinking about others.
Right.
You're not thinking about your teammates.
I want to go back to
you're thinking about getting paid the whole last part.
right. I want to go back to something you said. You said the minimum you're getting paid, right? That your point was that's a pretty good check even when you're making the minimum, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's good because I think a lot of times fans look at it and they think it is all about the drive, but it is a good check, right? Was it 550 or 580 or something like that now?
I don't know what it is now.
That's pretty good, you know. The guy's Kansas City, there's ice and snow everywhere. A guy's driving the plow, he's not getting 580.
Yeah.
He's doing a really important job. So it is a pretty good at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Right? It's a balancing act. We got a pretty good here. But 58 wins ain't good enough. Mm-hmm. Right? So that there is a enjoy it. It's a wonderful life to lead, but
yeah.
We're here to get the wins and that certainly seemed to click coming down the stretch last year for the team. Now, do you feel like this team carries it forward like that Diamondback team?
I like watching the end of last year, watching a lot of watching a lot of games and being part of it. It was fun, and it made me excited for this year. And
good.
It made me, you know, like see, curious. What I didn't think we needed to do a whole lot. I think Dayton did a good job of. We had Diekman at the end just a couple days ago.
Sure.
Brad Boxberger, stuff. I think that was very important for our bullpen. I felt like our offense was pretty good, but then we added some speed guys, which that's how we're going to win games. That's how we're going to win games. I think that's a great. It puts a lot of pressure on pitching, defenses. So, we're not have a big power team anyways, so it's might as well try with speed and defense, and those are the good teams do it, and that's manufacture runs that way, and that's well I felt like we could have done a better job last year at doing that same thing, and I think obviously they saw the same thing. So
we're talking to Ian Kennedy here in the program. You mentioned the bullpen. I was told a story. There was a story that came out that they're talking about you being in the bullpen. I was talking to some of the guys that got in here before me, and they said they brought that up to you, and you're like, that's news to me, which I thought was fantastic. I thought that was great. That's a classic Ian Kennedy answer. Like, where does this – I don't see how a guy who's thrown as many 200-inning seasons on this team could possibly be taken out of the rotation. But do you – where does it stand with what your role will be for this team?
When they brought it up to me, I heard about it from Flanny early in the offseason.
Jeff Flanny.
And that was really that was like the first time I go, I guess I need to look at that interview or listen to that interview because I had no idea. And I said, I guess until Dayton, I just went with the team of, if that's what it comes down to, and it comes down to winning,
first,
like same thing, like
right?
Comes down to winning. We'll do whatever. Like, you see it in playoffs all the time. You see it through other teams that guys will do whatever it takes to win. And then I got here in spring training. And like, so 2 weeks, like 2 weeks ago, Dayton called me. Cal called me. And it was just the same thing that I heard, but I wanted to hear from them. Like, they just called me. If I show up to spring training, then it's just normal.
Right.
And, it's just more of like, we're what we toss around the idea, right? And I said, okay. And then, so how about this? We'll talk about it in a couple of weeks. Like, we're going to meet. We're going to do all these things. We'll talk about it when you get to spring. So, okay, then I'll revisit this first couple of days of camp.
Right.
And then the first day of camp, we get off the field and start talking. And they're like, they brought it up again. And I go, I honestly have not even talked to them with all three, with Ned. I didn't even know what Ned said.
Right.
I would like to talk to them first, and if you don't mind, of course you got to answer the question,
right?
Like, what would what's your view on it, or how would you feel if that happened,
right?
And I try not to elaborate too much, just because like,
well, have you had that conversation yet?
So we have, but it was just more. It's kind of along the same thing. It's the same thing as like. Well, we're tossed around the idea still. So I'm like, okay, so I'm still going to extend out until you tell me.
Right.
So go ahead.
Well, so no, I just think it's interesting, the dynamics of how that played out. You always come out here and throw zeros all spring. Would you like to just not pitch? Like, you don't seem to need 5 weeks of games to get ready, right? However many starts you make in the spring, whatever that ends up being, seven or appearances, I mean, whatever they are, your time on the mound, you don't seem to need that. You seem to be ready to go. I almost feel like spring training wastes some of Ian Kennedy's best bullets.
Well, the last two springs, maybe I should switch it up. My last two springs have been pretty good.
Yeah.
And the last 2 years have not. Maybe I should switch it up and
right?
Like I used to be and be like, have a couple good starts, couple okays, but nothing really great. Then go to the season, pitch well.
Yeah.
I think I should do that because it's needed to be the opposite way.
Well, I could see where.
I would say that, like.
As a veteran, where you don't need all this time, like this, a lot of this spring training to me seems like it's for the young guys.
Well, I would say that it is good. It's for us pitchers to lengthen out. I like it to lengthen out, like more of just get those up downs and, whatever, up to six innings, whatever it is, 90. I think our last outing last year was around 90 something pitches, and that's fine. Maybe I should do something different.
Take it a different way. Are you healthy? How do you feel?
Yeah, everything's good.
Do anything different this year?
On the off season, I just changed up a little bit during when I was hurt, and I was talking to Jeff Blum, our PT, and
sure.
I was like, I'm tired of these little. It's not even my arm. It's my like my leg, and then trying to pitch through that. Then my arm got tired because I was using my legs.
Yeah.
I mean, not using my legs as
right.
much. And then last year my oblique, and it's like what can I do better? And this off season is just it literally is doing pretty much the same exercises, except for just doing like 30 reps, doing a higher volume. Building less weight,
right?
At the beginning, building that base. That's all it was, really. It was changing that base at the beginning, and then moving on, because those, I asked, I said, why do we do so many reps? It's because he explained it to me this way, this is layman's terms, but you're building, like when you're using, when you're doing 30 reps, you start to get tired because it's more of a cardiovascular, right. It's an endurance type of training rather than, I mean, when we're doing, you know, 8 to 10 reps,
sure,
you're training a little shorter. And when you're doing it the other way, you're recruiting the other muscles that are more stabilizer muscles, which are the muscles that I've been breaking down.
Right.
And I go, all right, deal. That's fine. Like,
yeah.
I'm sold. I need to know why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Because this 30 reps is a lot.
So could I offer another possibility? What if you just like sit on your ass and eat? Because I've never pulled an oblique. Never had a groin or a hamstring injury. My quick twitch muscles have never broken down. My support muscles have never broken down. Have you thought about going like David Wells? You know, there are some portly pitchers that have had tremendous success. All you guys look like, you know, you're ready for some kind of, you know, cross training competition in there. Like, it really is.
Some of those guys are, yeah.
It's a very fit clubhouse.
I feel very weak and very like, man, what are these young guys are lifting the house.
Yeah.
And I'm just here doing my light stuff. And
yeah,
it's,
you never give any thought to just bulk it up.
No,
you're gonna like 240, 250 now.
No, I feel overweight as it is.
What do you weigh?
200, like 200 to 205.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I've started.
You're a disaster, Ian.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's more of like, hey, you look at all these other guys, man, they're, like you said, they are not quite Gordo.
No, not everybody's him, but
yeah. But he's got an incredible eating regimen.
Incredible. Which, sad, somewhat others.
Yeah, like I find enjoyment at eating like a good dessert, or a good pizza, and he does not. He wants to eat pizza, but he can't. He's not going to let it happen.
Is it just all chicken breasts and egg whites in that man's world?
It's just a very bland world. A food world, I should say. Just that.
We're talking to Ian Kennedy here in the program. Final four for you, Ian. Four quickies. I'll start you with this. Who has the best hair in the clubhouse? We know, you know, you lost the flip, right?
Yeah, Drew.
Drew Butera's not there. So who now has the best hair in the clubhouse?
The best hair.
Salvi. I like Salvi. Everyone got on Salvi for the blonde action he had going last year. I thought that was strong. I liked that game. That was.
I didn't like it.
No?
No.
No?
He saw a picture of himself, and he said, like, wow, why did I do that?
I thought it was great.
Good hair. I'm trying to think.
Or maybe the biggest hair diva.
Oh.
I saw a man bun in there, for God's sake.
Yeah, no, that's the worst hair. I think it's so bad. That's Mick Williams.
Yeah.
I saw that. I was like, oh, boy. I can't. Like mini Thor.
Yes.
You know what? Dozier's got good hair. Not a diva, but he's got good hair.
Okay.
Good head of hair.
Okay. All right. We'll take that Hunter Dozier. Who's the worst driver on the team? And I don't mean golf. Somebody just suck. Can't park.
I would say
always like screwing up the parking.
I don't know,
spot or something.
But he drives. He last year he drove an S10 pickup, like old S10 pickup.
Yeah.
Flynn. He's. I don't see him being a good driver.
All right. What's your favorite uniform out of all the combinations? You got one. Usually the starter gets to pick it, right?
There's white. White with gold.
White. White with the gold.
The white.
Okay.
Friday nights.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. All right. And what kind of superstition you got? You got any superstition that you're beholden to when it comes to me? Won't step on the lines. Got to eat chicken before you start.
I always eat a peanut butter and jelly before I start.
PB&J?
Yeah. It's just because I don't like the feel. There's some really good spreads sometimes when we have, like, man, I wish I could eat that. Like some of my favorites, and I
like
still
some
have.
Like fettuccine Alfredo, and you're like, oh, I can't have that.
Yeah, definitely not have that. Not like Michael Scott in he's carb loading.
Yes.
No, I literally will turn that down because I know that my stomach won't. I don't think because of like the anxiety and my stomach doesn't line up right. But I just don't like to feel something heavy. And I sometimes have to eat during the game, like a protein bar or something, just because.
Start getting
empty.
But does somebody make the PB&J for you? You bring it from home?
No, I make it.
It's your own PB&J?
Crunchy peanut butter.
Okay.
On white bread.
What kind of jelly?
This is where I don't know. Sometimes I start thinking, like, what did I throw good? Why don't I throw good with peanut, with the strawberry grape, last time, or grape? Yeah. But most of the time I notice I go strawberry.
Strawberry.
Yeah.
Just strawberry. All right. Good. There it is. So we'll be watching. No doubt after hearing this, if you have a bad outing, somebody will be like, tell him to switch to grape.
Yeah.
Grape is always where it's at. Strawberry's crap. Ian, it's always great talking to you, buddy.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It. Appreciate your time. Stay healthy. We look forward to seeing you, KC.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.